That pretty much that mostly explains my issues in life. I have there's three, three blondes that gives me issues. That's a trilogy of terror right there.
I
Hey
love
guys,
that.
welcome back to Talking Through the Medias After Dark. I'm your host, Chris Fagan. This is your home for reactions and reviews by fans for fans. I'm freaking out by co-host here joining me live on the podcast on a Friday is the returning champion, Ty, or you're going to die. Cassie, what's
Hello.
going on? I'm trying something new where I try to like catch myself off guard, just start the show saying
I
something.
definitely caught me off
Just
guard.
like,
I was like slumped in my seat.
right? I'm
And I thought
gonna.
you were joking when you started the intro. I was like, did you just cut me off?
Yeah, no, I was like, from now on, I'm gonna just kind of like start the show where I'm like, and they were all screaming for their lives in terror, and I just kept walking away like it didn't matter. So, and then I'm like, hey, got that. So that's just something I'm just gonna do, guys. But we're gonna talk about some a few things. The smile. Oh, let's see if I can get this thing working here. Let me. I can think that'll be okay if it's muted, but it might not. Yeah, I just don't want it to distract us because we're live on all the socials on Instagram, on TikTok, and on Twitter and everything like that. So I just want to make sure it's all working. So let me just do a little bit of damage control there. I think it's fine. It'll be fine. We're gonna talk about Smile 2. We're gonna talk about the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, believe it or not. There's some news with the that's horror related with that. Late Night with the Devil, we got a review coming up. Was it worth it? Is it worth the trip to go to the movies to see what's been advertised on social media as the scariest movie of the year? We have somebody who's gonna be like,
I'm so excited to talk
you
about
ready to
that.
talk, you're ready to talk
I'm
about
so
that? Like
excited.
that's the thing that's been like, she's like, okay, about the there's about to be
I
some
drove
truth.
into the studio tonight to talk about this.
This is like you're about to hear the truth, people. All right, well, real quick, let's get into. We got just a few topics here. We're gonna be real quick about it. So, guys, if you're joining us live on all the socials and stuff, just hit the like button. Let us know what you guys think on the topics. Share this link, and let's just keep talking. All right, stuff out the way. Let's. You know what? Not this fine. So something that doesn't distract me. The first topic of the night. Let's see. The Nightmare on Elm Street. New Line, Nightmare on Elm Street. New Line took Will Smith to court over an Elm Street tribute. When I first, and
Oh,
this
wow.
comes from Joe Blow. When I first read that, I was like, "Wait a minute, what are we talking about? Are we talking about the? Do you remember? Did you ever watch The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
Yeah.
Do you remember that scene where Carlton was driving?" And then Will Smith came out of the back seat and scared the shit out of him. He was wearing a Freddy mask. He had a Freddy mask and the claws. And because Carlton was like recording, like reminding himself, remember to do this, remember to do that. And then Will Smith was like, get your foot out of
Yeah.
your foot out of your ass, something like that.
So
It
I
was
don't
like,
remember that exact scene, but I can picture it.
yeah. And I'm thinking, what the hell happened? Is that are they suing them for that? And I mean, that's a what 30 years ago. I'm
Right.
like, what the hell?
That sounds so petty.
You would think if they would have sued them, that would have been like back in the 2000s and the 90s or something like that.
Right.
So this comes in from Joe Blow. Let me see if I can find it here. Here we go. There we go. All right. Nightmare on Elm Street, New Line took Will Smith to court over an Elm Street tribute.
Are they just like desperate right now?
Well, let's see what this going on.
Okay.
I assumed that's what this was about, but let's see what this is really about here.
Okay, let's read it.
Oh, see, I got your After Dark background up, but I think I forgot to turn mine on. Let's see. There it is. All right. Let's see from Joe. Here we go. New Line Cinema teamed up with the rock band Dokken when they needed a song and music video to help promote their 1987 film, A Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors. I love that. That was like my favorite
Yeah.
installment. But when the time came to make another Elm Street sequel the following year, they decided to switch musical genres and find a rapper that they could work with on a song for the soundtrack, A Nightmare on Elm Street 4, The Dream Master. According to the recently published book, Maverick Movies, New Line Cinema, and the Transformation of American Film by Diane Herbert, New Line wanted a rap song for Nightmare on Elm Street 4 because the company understood that 40% of the Nightmare series audience was black. Okay. Demographics, baby. Okay. The rap song that ended up on the soundtrack was the Fat Boys, Are You Ready for Freddy? I think I remember that movie. I mean, that song.
Uh-huh.
I think I remember it. Are You Ready for Freddy? Which also got a music video that featured Robert Englund as Freddy Krueger. But DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, a.k.a. Will Smith, also recorded their own Elm Street-inspired rap song that year, A Nightmare on Elm Street, A Nightmare on My Street. And circumstances led to New Line taking the Fresh Prince to court over his Nightmare on My Street video. Herbert explains, in the summer of 1988, the rap group The Fat Boys released the album Coming Back Hard Again,
mm-hmm.
great title, which features the song Are You Ready for Freddy? This track featured Freddy character talking and rapping along with the Fat Boys. The song was released in the wake of another song that invoked Freddy and Nose, A Nightmare on M Street, Nightmare on My Street. DJ Jazzy Deaf and Fresh. We already recapped this. He's just recapping the same thing. New Line Cinema sued the music company responsible for the video, and a court upheld the injunction against it by it being aired. Instead, the video for the Fat Boys, Are You Ready for Freddy, aired on MTV in the fall of 1988 and depicted Freddy character terrorizing the Fat Boys. A disclaimer sticker was added to the He's the DJ, I'm the Rapper album packaging, notifying buyers that A Nightmare on My Street was not part of the soundtrack. So they even had to... okay, so what do you think of Will Smith getting in trouble for A Nightmare on My Street? And I guess you guys can also leave that in comment. So it wasn't anywhere near what I thought it was going.
Yeah.
But do you remember that movie? Any of that franchise? Part 4 was a Dream. Dream Warriors was 3.
Uh-huh.
Dream Master was 4, I believe.
I think you're right, yeah. I don't remember any of the soundtrack, though.
I don't
remember
this song at all.
No. So Will Smith is getting sued over a song he made like 20 years ago.
From what I can tell, the lawsuit happened back then, but they're talking about it. Like, I don't know why this is news today. Like, why are they bringing this up on Joe Blow? But this is some interesting news that happened back then. This sounds like this happened in the 80s and the 90s.
Right.
So what's the point of letting us know that I'm assuming that this is a New Line Cinema took to the Fresh Prince of AKA Will Smith to court over a video he did on Elm Street Inspired. But this happened in the 90s and in the 80s. Why are we bringing this up now? I thought they were saying that New Line just sued them.
Right.
Today. But there's some horror trivia.
There we go.
I mean,
which rapper got sued by Nightmare on Elm Street?
Yeah, which, yeah. But yeah, like, Freddie fucks with the Fat Boys, not so much Will Smith. Like, that's all I'm
yeah,
like,
right?
Why am I being reminded of this? And okay, so maybe I should apologize. I thought this was like a recent lawsuit.
It's okay. Horror history.
Today in horror
history. Horror history after dark.
Today in horror history.
I'm not the spokesperson for horror history, please. And thank you.
Okay, sorry. My bad. But, I think I do remember seeing that video, though, with Freddy Krueger and the Fat Boys. I remember seeing them like running around like the Three Stooges and,
uh-huh.
and Freddie coming after himself. I do remember Freddie rapped a lot back then.
Interesting.
But I'm old enough to remember that. But I think, I don't know, maybe it's because, you know, Will Smith, you know, with the slap and all that stuff. Like, I think maybe just want, you know what, you want to bring up some shit? Let's just bring up any kind of drama. Not only not only is Jada, you know, putting his business out in the street, but Freddie don't fuck with him. I don't know why this was news, but it was up there. I don't know, guys. Let us know what you guys think. I don't even know what. I thought this was a recent thing, but it seems to be some, what'd you call it? Facts of horror history?
Yeah.
Bullshit. I should have did my due diligence.
It's all good.
My bad. I apologize and I'll never do it again. All right. That was one topic. Oh, no. Okay. And more recent news.
Yeah, bringing it up to the current decade.
Let's bring it up to 2020. It's what do people like to say now? It's 2024, people. Collider, from Collider, Smile 2 is so terrifying. It made the star Lucas Gage sick to his stomach on set. Does this news work for you? Or do you think this is just a work? Or do you think
it might be true? I don't know. I feel like it might be a little bit of marketing.
Yeah. You think so?
Yeah. I mean, you see things like this about movies all the time. And then you get really excited and you're like...
Standing ovation by the producers.
Right. Exactly. I mean, Smile 1 was incredible. And I can definitely see it making people sick to their stomachs.
Yeah.
Some people... But
the people who are there,
right?
Who knows?
What made you sick to your stomach? The costumes,
yeah. Like, just the director, he's ugly ass, or my co-star wasn't that hot, or something. I don't know. But you think that's no? Like what? I guess that begs the question: what made him specifically sick to his stomach?
Like plot twist, they catered lunch that day, and everybody got food poisoning.
Spoiled. I hope he didn't spoil it on this one. Like, oh, it was when my character died at the end. Like, right. This, like he spoils it or something.
Yeah.
Hopefully he doesn't do that. So let me dive into it real fast. Okay. From Collider, it says, Smile 2 will be in theaters this fall, but even before that, the film promises to be scarier than the first film. According to star Lucas Gage, in a conversation with The Hollywood Reporter, Gage clarified his earlier comments when he said that shooting some scenes for the upcoming film made him vomit off camera, saying that while he didn't actually vomit, the reaction was close. In an earlier appearance on the Jess Cage show, Gage revealed that the filming had already wrapped, which is also when he teased his reaction to some scenes in the film. He went off by saying, if you love the first movie, you're going to love this one. It's so terrifying. It's the first time I've ever been on set where I was genuinely afraid and I actually got sick to my stomach. I didn't puke. I dry heaved. I was really shocked how intense it is on the day. You just think, oh, it's acting. It's going to be fine. But that movie is so... the word isn't even there, but I was about to throw the F word in there. It's so effing scary.
Yeah.
The whole crew was terrified. The smile itself is just creepy. And then you throw the most gory scene on top of it. I have a weak stomach too. I'm a wimp. Okay, well then that clarifies it. He's just a pussy.
Yeah. I mean, he was really selling it for a minute. I was like, damn, but at the end he's like, I have a weak stomach. I'm a wimp. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he saw. Yeah, how do we know that you didn't get the same reaction from watching Forrest Gump? I mean, so you think you're sticking with that market? It's just marketing.
Probably.
So, nothing to see here, people. He's just a pussy. No. I don't know, but or maybe. Maybe it could be. I don't know. What do we know about Smile 2? The sequel is the surprise hit. Smile has not revealed many details about what the film is about, but going with the first film's premise, one can expect some creepy smiles.
Well, no shit.
The first film starred Sosie Bacon as a therapist who witnesses the bizarre suicide of a patient. She goes through increasingly bizarre experiences, leading her to believe she is experiencing something supernatural. The sequel features an all-new story and a cast led by Naomi Scott. Other cast members including Gage, Raul Castro, Kyle Gallner,
ooh, nice.
Rosemary DeWitt, and Dylan Galula, and Miles Gutierrez Riley. It is written and directed by Parker Finn, who was also behind the first film. So, cool. There we go. All right. So, no real details there. Just dude with a weak stomach saying, I don't like that. You know?
Yeah,
so
basically.
That's basically it. But
still excited for it, though.
What was your thoughts when you first saw the marketing for the first movie?
Loved the marketing. I thought it was so creepy. And if I was just like at the baseball game or wherever I would be, and I didn't actually know what it was happening, I would be so creeped out.
The people paid to just smile at the camera.
Or random people, like just like in the audience amongst normal people, just
doing that.
Yeah. And I remember like the viral pictures of the woman who was like looking at it, like,
I would be like, that woman is sitting too close to that minor. Like, what the fuck is going on over there? The marketing of it was good. I'm wondering if they're gonna do something similar.
Yeah, I can't remember what it is, but they think they've already started.
Like what?
I can't remember. I should have looked it up. But
well, damn it, why'd you bring it up?
Okay, next time.
But I can only imagine what if they have like people in other movies, like I'm going to go see Ghostbusters, but this woman just sitting next to me doing.
Oh, right.
Like, you like piggybacking off of other movies.
Yeah.
I went to go see Deadpool, and this chick is just next to me smiling like a freak.
Right.
But I think that's what they should do, if they can do it legally.
Right.
I don't know. They probably get sued for that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But yeah, I wanted to believe it when, but like when we started reading through the whole premise of it, it's like, okay, this could just be some marketing.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, well, I mean, that's part of the thing. Actors, they're not only paid, they got to promote. So
yeah,
I'll semi buy it, because maybe he does have a weak stomach, and maybe the scenes that he saw did give him that reaction. But if it would have been like a producer saying this or the director saying this, I'm like, ah,
yeah,
no, you're just trying to sell tickets. But I'm already sold. The first one did a good job, so maybe it's true. Let us know what you guys think, and let's move on. All right. Get the reaction part of it out of the way. Headlines out of the way. Let's get to the nitty gritty. Late Night with the Devil. I didn't see it yet. I was going to go see it. And then Tyler was like, yeah, wait, let me talk to you first. So Tyler, I'm okay. The floor is yours. I'm going to just sit back and let you, what's the words I'm looking for?
Vent?
Vent. You're going to vent. So this is not a pitch. This is a vent. Let's talk about it. Late Night with the Devil.
Yeah.
Where are we going with this?
First off, am I able to say spoilers, because it technically came out today?
I would start off with your overall thoughts on it first.
And then I'll let everybody know.
Let's cut it in half.
Okay.
Non-spoiler to spoiler.
All right, so overall thoughts. I had such high hopes. One, I loved the trailer. I was super excited. But I got even more excited when I saw that Rotten Tomatoes had 100%. And I even read all the reviews I could without ones that said, you know, no spoilers. And I just got really, really excited for it. And so I went last night, and I was just extremely let down. So part of like an exorcism or a possession movie that you would expect is some possession, you know, some body being possessed. Okay, 96% and 85% right now. So my biggest was going to be a talk show where she's like possessed, you know, three quarters of the show, and we're going to be scared, and she's going to be doing crazy shit. But it was more, we were just on a talk show, and you know, we got a little bit of a possession, and then at the end we got a little bit of a fever dream, and then it was over. And it just was, in my opinion, just like the other Exorcist that came out last year, it was genuinely not scary. So when they brought the girl out, just her in general, she was the way she talked was really creepy. And I got really excited. I was like, oh, this bitch is crazy. Like, she's about to do some crazy shit. But we didn't get anything. And then even the people that I watched it with, they were like, Tyler, you said it was going to be good. You said it was going to be like the top five of the year. And I was like, I'm sorry, guys. I really, really thought that. The people online who are saying that it was so great, I have questions. I have so many questions. Like, why do you think it was that good? I mean, in my opinion, it was a very lackluster horror movie that didn't give us anything of substance, in my opinion. It actually left, so I think it's supposed to leave some questions unanswered for you to draw your own opinions, which is perfectly fine. But there were some plot holes too that are annoying, that, you know, aren't meant to make your mind wonder. They just are there, and I'm mad that I don't have an answer for. I just didn't enjoy it, and it didn't deliver what I thought it was going to deliver. Okay, now I'm going to go into some spoilers. So if you don't want to, if you still want to watch it and you don't want any spoilers, hop off for 5 minutes and then hop back in. Okay. Acting like a normal girl, but she's like, what's the guy's name? Jack, I think. I probably have the wrong name. Pretend to have the right name. But she's like, hi, Jack. Don't I look pretty, Jack? Like, you know, kind of being like temptatious to him. And I'm like, oh yeah, she's already like, she's acting like a real girl, but really she's possessed right now. A blaster or whatever the fuck his, the demon's name is. Alablaster, probably not that. And so then she's like, oh, and then, you know, the devil's out, and they talk to the devil, and then they're like, oh, come back to me. And then she goes back to the normal girl. But again, she's not really a normal girl, in my opinion. She's kind of a creepy girl. She's kind of like, you know, giving temptuous vibes and being really creepy. So I'm like, okay, we're going to get an answer for, she was never really the sweet little girl that everyone's acting like she is on the show. We got no answer for that. She just, at the end, turns into the devil, and obviously there's lots of death. And then it Big spoiler. Turns out that you don't care if I spoil it for you?
I mean, we cut it in half, so you have a warning. So.
But you? No. Okay. So it turns out that the demon is really there for Jack, because Jack had to, I think, sacrifice his wife to become a famous talk show host. And she was there the whole time to, I guess, torment him. But we just got like a little bit of a fever dream and some flashbacks at the end. And then it ended. It was an hour and 33 minutes long. An hour and 33 minutes of me waiting for the big scariness to happen, and it never came. The only thing I did like about the movie was the performances were really, really good by pretty much everybody involved, specifically Jack. And I would say like the overall feel of the movie, of being on the talk show, you're kind of looking at it as if you are the audience, which is unique. But it just kind of had like, you kept waiting for something scary. And I liked that ominous feeling. Like, okay, it's coming. And, you know, everything was set in like, I don't know, the 70s or some shit. Like, it felt old. The screen plays felt old and granular. And we even had commercial breaks, but we didn't get to watch commercials because obviously it's like, we're cutting to commercial. And then we would be off the show, and then we'd be like behind the scenes and shit. And then we go back, 3, 2, 1, you're live. And then we go back on the show and watch more of the talk show. And it just, it was
so it's above Night Swim. Is it below it? Where's the scale now?
Okay, it's above Night Swim. It's below Imaginary.
Okay.
Unpopular opinion maybe. I actually did enjoy watching Imaginary. And this one, I was like, really? This is it? This is all we get? And I'm going into it knowing that the movie is an hour and a half long only. So the whole time I'm thinking, okay, when's it going to get good? Like, when's she going to get possessed? Like, when's it going to happen? And I'm like, looking at the clock, like, we got like 30 minutes left of the movie and like nothing scary has happened. And then the one thing that scary that did happen when she was possessed for all of 5 minutes happened. I was like, is that it? Because the movie's almost over. That's all we got? And it's really pretty much all we got. So definitely watch it yourself though. And, you know, form your own conclusions for how you feel about the movie. You could completely disagree with me. I have a feeling though that technically when I saw it yesterday, it wasn't really out yet. So everybody who had seen it was people watching it early. I think when it hits today for the masses and more people watch it, I think those reviews are going to slowly dwindle down, in my opinion. Because like I said, everybody I was with did not enjoy it. I think more and more people will probably, you know, other than the performances and, you know, I guess, I don't know, the uniqueness of on my 2024 list of horror, and damn, it's pretty hard to do.
A Late Night with the Devil is being marketed. This must be the type of movie that, because I know these movies that you've listed that's your favorite horror. So uh-huh. I was like, maybe Tyler's more of a this psychological thing, like this, like
sold his soul to become famous.
Who hasn't?
Literally. Like we knew that was coming.
Come on, Satan. Get like, me a million subscribers.
big spoilers, but I saw the plot twist a mile away.
Really?
So in the beginning, he's talking about how he tanked at first. I missed the beginning of the movie. I missed like the first 10 minutes.
Of course. I mean, you were on CP time.
I am perpetually late. But but I do know my friends that got there first. They're like, oh, they were just giving a...
Let me interview for a second. Who did you go with? Who went with you?
I went with my friend Tracy and my boyfriend Charles.
And you enjoyed it less than they did? Let's get
their opinion. None of them enjoyed it.
Oh, wow. So yeah.
And in fact, Charles was even like, I don't get it. Because the end was a fever dream.
Okay.
And I was like, I think he sold his soul to... Like, he sacrificed his wife. But they...
Tyler was probably like, I think in the end... Somebody wrote a bad movie.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, literally. Like, listen, so in the very beginning, he says, like, he had some bad success, like, no success. And now he's getting because this is comeback night. This is his first time back. He's getting a comeback on this late night show, and he has to do great ratings.
Okay.
And then they also talk about how his wife passed away recently of cancer. And so it just already in the very beginning set up for, okay, his wife's passed away. Now he has to have a great show. Like, it just felt like he sacrificed his wife for fame. Illuminati, Soul Your Soul, Hollywood, whatever. It gave me those vibes from the very beginning. And then as the show progressed, the more they talked about it, I was like, yeah, I bet he had to sacrifice his wife. Because they kept bringing up his wife. And when she was possessed and she talked, he said that, like, she talked with his wife's voice.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, well, how could you do this to me? And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's definitely what it is. It was just, I don't know, the plot twist at the end was so predictable and also so unspecial that it was just felt kind of like a slap in the face. Like, this is it, this is what we get.
So, wow, okay. You know, I'll still watch it.
Please do.
Because it maybe it's one of those movies where it just, it hits me, but it didn't hit you. I mean, it says 96% liked it.
Yeah.
So 4% obviously didn't. So you're pretty adamant, like, no, I got it.
Yeah. But I got it, and I didn't like that.
Right.
So.
Right. I don't even think I have that. But no, I got this one up here.
For me.
Yeah.
It just didn't hit.
It didn't hit, in my opinion. And
I don't like that.
I do think that there's a big possibility that I went in with my hopes too high because of all of the reviews that I read, like, and that I might have been let down. But I think even without that high expectation, I still think I would have
not enjoyed it. I was just about to say that does hurt some movie going experiences, but there sometimes that does, but other times, even if you go up with high expectations, you're a pretty level-headed person.
Right.
I mean, I feel like if you felt like this was your type of movie, you would have been like, it didn't meet my expectations, but I still had a good time. I can see a review like that, but it just didn't click with you.
It just wasn't scary. I didn't like, and it's hard to scare me. But
I don't think it would be scary.
I don't think it was scary either. But this is a possession movie.
Okay.
This is made for being like over the top, like kind of gory and like creepy and scary and. You know, she's going to transform and she's going to talk like the devil and all that shit. Like, it's supposed to, like, really freak you out. And
the later VHS series, it felt like a later VHS. This is, like, let me go back to the Rotten Tomatoes score real quick. It says, I had it for a second here.
How did you feel about the fact that we only saw her being possessed for, like, all of 5 to 7 minutes of the entire movie?
If it would have stayed, if it was at still at, like, 30 reviews or 20 something reviews, then you can expect the dip.
Yeah.
But once it gets above, like, from my experience, once it gets above 100, the critics and the audience score, that usually where it's gonna probably stay. So 90, like, so it might, but you might be. I didn't see it. I might agree with it. When I see it, I might agree with you. Like, what the hell movie did? That they see, because I agree with Todd. So I don't know, maybe we will be a part of that 4%.
Well, go check it out, and then let's also watch Immaculate, and we'll talk about it next.
I was supposed to go see Immaculate today. I'm gonna go watch it tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon. And
see, Ricky, I agree, that would have been.
Well, Ricky also said something else.
Asked him about how did he feel about the whole her being possessed only lasting like 7 minutes out of the entire movie.
He said it felt like a bit of a letdown. I thought they were going to use the live audience as like half possessed or have them killing each other or something.
That would
have
been cool.
I'm kind of glad that I only watched the those teasers and whatnot. I saw the trailer, but the trailer didn't make the movie as interesting. It was interesting enough, and I was hearing people going, "Oh, I liked it." So I go, "Okay, I'll go watch it." But I didn't get invested in the trailer to the point where I started going, "I hope the movie's like that." But it sounds like you did, like. Your expectations started kind of building up.
I just feel like it's not a big expectation to go into a possession movie and expect to see somebody good. Who's possessed.
But did the premise say that it was? Oh, the trailer. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
The trailer did indicate possession. It did kind of. Yeah. Okay. So I'll give you that. So I don't know. Because I didn't see it. So. Now I'm kind of worried. Like, should I watch it? I don't
want to. I want you to watch it. It's only an hour and a half.
Only an hour and a half. You know what? And I need the AMC points.
There we go.
I'm an A-list member. So overall,
yeah.
But he agrees with you and so. So okay. So even a person who enjoyed it, he can still see where you're coming from on it.
Yeah.
So there you go, right there. All right. That's our quick review on that. So thank you, Tyler, for. You didn't talk me out of it. I'll go watch it.
I want you to watch it.
I'll go check it out. All right, guys, that's the show. We have to wrap it up. We have to keep it a close to a 30-minute show, guys. If you guys have any other questions, thoughts, concerns on any of the things we talked about, Freddie and Will Smith, Smile 2, Late Night with the Devil, definitely. If you go check it out, let us know what you guys thought about it. Are you a part of that 96% that was like, this is the best movie of all time of the 2024 horror? Or are you part of the 4% that's like, what the fuck are y'all talking about? Like, no, that's like, I thought that girl was gonna, like, you know, her head was gonna spin around, or she was gonna murder everybody in the room, or something like, I don't know. Did you go in there with your expectations and you were like, let me know. Let us know in the comments. Help us get these likes up. Overall, we got 20 people in the chat. 21 now in the chat. Get these likes up. Help us out. Hit the like button and subscribe if you want to subscribe for more. Look out for our reactions and other reviews. And
follow me on Instagram.
And follow. I was going to get there. I was going to say.
Before they start hopping out.
Before we start hopping out. Tyler, people want to find you online. Where can they do so?
At Ty or Die.
On all the socials.
Okay, at Ty or Die _.
There you go.
On all the socials except for X, which is just at Ty or Die.
Right. Yeah, right. Don't confuse our audience. All right, guys, if you want to follow me also.